friend of mine has a daughter who struggled years ago as a middle schooler with anxiety so severe and debilitating that she ended up missing an entire year of school. At the orientation meeting for her new school, where she got special care with this, the school representative said to the daughter, "When you are having a bad day, you need to come have your bad day with us, and we will help you through it." And I thought that was such a brilliant, compassionate message. And I also thought that it reminded me of church. It's how I feel about us. It's what I would say to anyone here, or who wants to be here, whatever kind of a day you are having and whatever you are feeling. If you are soaring on a new love or a transformative experience, or if it's bad, especially when it's bad, come have your bad day with us, and we will help you through it. Finding a religious home, a religious community, a place to belong, people to belong with, to teach and to learn from, to risk and share and deepen with, to journey with, to care together for our children and learn together from our elders and share together with our kindred spirits of all ages and races and heritages and experiences. These are some of the most precious, rare, and life-sustaining, spirit-sustaining gifts we will ever receive in this life. We are unspeakably lucky to have each other and to be here, whether we are here for the very first time or for the 50th year, to have the chance to find and share this home here. And this is why I pledge. This is why I pledge, according to the guidelines that we all receive at this time of year. And this is why I'm raising my gift again this year. I'm raising it by 8%. Because I was asked to by our wonderful commitment drive team. It is not the most convenient time for me to raise my pledge. Tim and I have had to do a lot of extensive renovation on our home. Some of it was required because our house failed inspection on a couple of counts when we bought it a couple of years ago. And some of it was our choice. And of course, the work was more expensive and more extensive than we anticipated. So fulfilling our pledges and then raising them for next year again means it will take longer to pay back the loans that we needed to take out to complete the work. And that is doable for us, and it's stressful. But Tim and I love this community, and we believe in it, and we want First Unitarian to thrive. I hope that we all absolutely will give what we can for this church, whatever that looks like. There is a great range of financial circumstances in this church, and we all appreciate each other's giving at whatever level we are at. Many of us have had times when we were right on the edge, when a tank of gas could break the budget. And some of us are there now. So if it has been a hard year and you need to reduce your gift, go ahead. In fact, if you need some financial assistance, please let me know, because we have funds that are dedicated to help with housing and food and other needs. And if things change for the better, you can always increase your gift later. And also, it's not just on you, because someone else here has had a good year and is in a place where they can increase their gift, maybe for the very first time. If things are tight and sustaining your gift is a generous choice, then please do that, and thank you. If you are able to increase your gift, please do. Our budget is increasing by 6 to 8% next year. If we can overall lift our giving by at least that much, we will be in great shape. If the truth is that you could really give a lot more, please do that. In our church organizational assessment that was released this year, the Reverend David Pyle stressed that this church, our church, has a lot of strengths which make a great foundation for our present and our future, including, he highlighted, it wasn't me, it was him, a gifted and devoted staff, and I couldn't agree more. He also stressed that our current size and programs far outstrip our personnel and our resources. And a lot of people hadn't known that. So it seemed like a good thing to repeat that here in case some people didn't get to hear him. Everyone has been doing our best, our paid staff, our volunteers, but the work and the times and the vision and the requirements of this community mean that we need more time and more resources for the staff to be able to do their work at the level that this church has come to expect and to better meet the needs and opportunities that are still in our community, especially pastoral and spiritual needs, along with better integrating and serving our members and our programs and our justice work. I said before that I was raising my pledge because of what the commitment drive asked of me, but that is only part of the truth. I am also raising my pledge because I believe absolutely and, in thinking about it, fiercely in the power and the potential of this congregation, the power within our church to sustain us, the power to catch us when we're falling, and the power to hold us when we need holding, and the power to lift us and strengthen us when we are low, the power to both reflect and magnify our joy when we are joyful, and to help us create so much together. Music and art and relationships and our own living, to inspire us in our living and our struggles for justice and compassion in our world, and to do more in those struggles because we cannot settle for less, and the power beyond this church to be a mighty agent for change and for goodness in our city and across our state, to grow in compassion and understanding and spirit, to build bridges and partnerships, to make more justice, to serve more people, to make more peace here and now. We are on that path, and I am committed to it and committed to you. And inspired by you and by all we are doing together. It is remarkable and it's beautiful. Lives have been shaped here. This church has drawn people, think about this, this church has drawn people to devote their lives to this faith, to lay ministry and to ordained ministry in this faith. So, oh my gosh, talk about giving and talk about love beyond belief. The love of this church, the experience of faith here, has led people to give themselves. It is not for me to say what that meant for them. Most recently, of course, Emily Bruce and Lisa Garcia Sampson, members of this church who have now committed their lives to Unitarian Universalist ministry.
Hey, did you just call me? Were you just talking about me?
I really was.
Well, that is such a coincidence because I have been hiding in the stairwell for 3 hours. Everybody. First, Liz, I love your ridiculous imagination and all the beautiful ways it manifests in this community. So thank you for inviting me to pop out of a pulpit after being snuck into a church early in the morning. I've had many firsts here. The first time I preached, the first time I wore a robe at your installation, but this is a first among firsts, to be sure. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Lisa Garcia Sampson, and I have been a proud member of this congregation for almost a decade now. I wandered through these doors in 2010, new to Unitarian Universalism, and signed the book in 2011. And this May, I will be ordained by this congregation. Thanks. And there's one other thing, one really important thing that you should know about me if you don't already. And it's this. I love budget drives. I love budget drives. Some of you who are new to the church are probably like, who is this lady? But I do. And there's a story behind it. A couple years into me being here, our minister at the time, James Ford, invited me out to lunch one day. And you know what they say about free lunches. And at the end of the meal, he asked me if I would co-chair the annual budget drive. Now, my first thought was, I'm 25 years old. What on earth makes you think I'm not going to mess that up? But the guy had bought me lunch. And beyond that, James believed in me. He saw something in me that, if I'm honest, I hadn't seen in myself yet. And that is what made me say yes. Little did I know, and truly I mean this, that decision changed my life. In partnership with a seasoned veteran, Ann Connor. Hi, Ann. Sorry I didn't tell you I was coming. I went on to co-lead the annual budget drive for not one, but 2 years. And the experience changed the way I thought of this church and this faith and myself. First, during this time, I learned what our church really meant to people. Through Sunday testimonials and visiting stewards and group events, the budget drive created space for people to share and reflect on how this community and this faith had shaped their lives. And as a relatively new member, that was a turning point for me. Because after that, whenever I sat in the pews on Sunday, I didn't see strangers anymore. I didn't see coffee hour acquaintances. I knew the stories in the room. I saw this church for all its gifts and its passions and all its beautiful connections among us. I saw it for the living, breathing web that it was. And that is how I came to fall in love with this place. And with this faith. And during that time, I also learned about myself. Because in this role, for the first time in my life, I was called to speak from the pulpit, not just to ask for money, but to articulate a vision for what we were trying to build together. And it was in that stewardship campaign 8 years ago that I realized my call to ministry. And 6 months later, I was in seminary. You can check my Boston University admissions essay. I wrote about you, and I wrote about the pledge drive. And that's why it's so special to be back here on this Sunday. not only to hear the world premiere of the Barbershop Quintet song, which I would have come just for that, to be fair, but to help kick off this drive by sharing my story of how this church has changed my life. And I love the theme you have selected for this year, giving, receiving as love shows us how, because it calls us to reflect on the relationship between giving and receiving. And it reminds me that while my bond to this place was certainly formed by my service to it, the truly transformative moments of my time here were not in moments of giving, but in receiving. One thing you may not know about me is that when I first walked through these doors when I was 23 years old, I was estranged from my mother and continued to be through most of my 20s. And you may or may not have realized it, but many of you have been like mothers to me. And 5 years ago, when I got married to my spouse, Ree, right here in this church, because of the convictions of her own faith, my mother was not present. But Ann Connor was. My budget drive co-chair turned chosen family was here for me while I planned my wedding. She made my cake. And she was the person I asked to speak during the service. This congregation also got me through seminary. You gave me rides, you cooked me meals, and when my spouse Ree and I were financially struggling while both in school, we received money from members of this church as well as from the pastor's fund. A fund that gives financial assistance to members and friends of this community for urgent short-term needs. See, I could not have gotten to this point without you. And even though I'm no longer a part of this place the way I once was, this place will always be my spiritual home. And I still draw on the strength and wisdom of this place. I always will. In times during my ministry now when I'm scared or nervous or just need to be grounded in my faith, do you know what I do? I sing quietly to myself the song, "May Love Be Your Guide." You know, the song that we sing at the end of the service sometimes. Nothing against Shalom Havarim. I love Shalom Havarim. But "May Love Be Your Guide," that song was my first anchor to this faith. That is the song that moves me to tears. It makes me feel that I am home. And over time, it has become the spiritual resource that I call upon when I'm driving somewhere to give a sermon, when my heart aches, when I don't know what to do, I sing that song. And it helps me return to my spirit and to you all. And that is the song that I have asked our choir to sing when I am ordained here in May during the exact moment of the laying on of hands, the moment of ordination. Choir, can you do that for me? Okay. About a month ago, I stepped into the role of executive director of the UU Justice Ministry of North Carolina. I know Susan Frederick Gray was here earlier in the year talking about UUing the vote, and you can bet we will be UUing the vote down in North Carolina, the gerrymandering capital of the United States, if you don't know. And if I may share a little secret just between us and whoever is watching on Facebook, I don't entirely know what I'm doing. To be honest, this work is a new frontier for me. And it's scary because the stakes are very, very high. And yet I know I'll be fine because I have had great teachers. I have learned what justice looks like because of the work we have done. To proclaim that Black Lives Matter, to accompany those in sanctuary, to feed people through our food pantry, to fight to end gun violence in our state. I know what it looks like, I know what it feels like because of you. But equally important to my ministry is that you all have taught me what beloved community feels like. The way we sing together and share potluck meals together. And the way we love and support one another through chalice circles and soul circles and lay ministry, and just simply through our friendships. You know, I think sometimes our justice ministry out in the world and our ministry to one another here can be seen as separate. Do you ever feel that way? But actually, these two parts need each other. Because the relationship between the two is actually what reveals the heart of our faith. And here's why. Because when we are in authentic relationship with one another, in this community, when we are vulnerable enough to let ourselves be seen by one another, to learn from one another, to ask for help and receive the grace of one another, those are the profound moments in our lives when we realize our interdependence. And that is what our faith calls us to learn. And that is what this church has taught me. That I need you. And you need me. And none of us can get through this life on our own. That is the great spiritual transformation in our hearts that will usher in social transformation in our world. We know that this American culture promotes individualism and freedom and celebrates self-reliance. But the suffering in our world and the harm being done to this earth is the result of human beings denying our interdependence. Denying that every being on this earth is bound to one another and accountable to one another. And we will not heal this world by clinging to that same sense of independence. No. We must engage in justice work out of the theological grounding of our interdependence. Because then, we no longer do it out of a sense of charity or guilt or hustling for our wokeness, but out of the knowledge that my humanity is tied to yours. That is the greater love. We sit here today in this sanctuary looking back at 300 years of history and looking forward to an unknown future. And on this occasion, I can't help but think back to something that Siam O'Neill once said about this beloved place. He said this. At the back of our meeting house, centered on the wall of the balcony, hangs an old clock. It may have been hanging there since this meeting house was first dedicated back in 1816. And on Sunday mornings during the silences in our service, I like to listen for that clock. I like to listen to it mark the moments in the life of this congregation. That clock has quietly hailed those moments for almost 200 years. As our congregation has gathered together on Sunday mornings through good years and bad, during those 200 years, a civil war rolled across this land, along with two world wars and a Great Depression. Most of us have never lived through days like that, but the life of this congregation has. Our congregation has been through it all. Next time it's really quiet during Sunday service, listen for that clock. It is marking the passing of time and hailing the arrival of our moment, our time. May we pass on something as precious and sustaining as this congregation to those who come after us. We are now called to meet this moment, our moment, and live into our role as the keepers of this beloved community and as the keepers of this faith. Just as those who came before us learned through wars and great depressions, we must rely on one another and know that none of us can get through this alone. And when we do that, when we together realize the truth of our interdependence, we can realize the full power of this faith to change our lives and to heal this aching world. May it be so. Amen.